Sing to me, of heaven, let me fondly dream of its gold.
Welcome to Conversions to Christ. I'm your host, Jeff Smith.
Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sweetest song of all.
Hey, Brother Don, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. So glad you could join us. Well, my guest today is Don Newcomer. Appreciate you joining us, Brother Don.
Well, I'm so glad to be here, Jeff. I'd love to share my story with you.
This is the 12th episode of these. I've really been pleased with all the folks that have been willing to share. The title, Conversions to Christ, comes from Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So that was a directive, you know, in the early days of the church. Repent, be converted. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized. But when we go through the book of Acts, we see how we're supposed to come, how people are supposed to come to the Lord, how they hear the gospel. Their hearts are pricked by that. They understand it, willing to make a change. In many of the accounts, they confess Christ. They, in a number of the accounts, repent. In a number of those, they're immersed for remission of their sins. They rise to walk in newness of life. That's the pattern, we call it, for how to come. And that's standard. But the details of our individual conversions are so unique. You know, how old were we? Who taught us? What was going on in our life at the time to make us, you know, all of a sudden, the gospel's been there our whole life, but why did we hear it then? And why did we react then? And how did that change things for us? So that's what we want to talk about, with the idea of not only helping folks that are not yet, have not yet come to the Lord to come, but also to help folks who are already in Christ be thinking about, hey, maybe I could be that person that could influence someone else and could bring them to the Lord. That's what we're hoping the outcome of these sessions is. That's what we want to talk about. And I really, you know, we've been friends through the years, but I really don't know your story, so I'm really excited to hear it today.
Great. So, I've shared it with a number of people, so I'm happy to share it with you also.
Well, super. So just start wherever you'd like to start in your story. Tell us about what was going on before you came to the Lord.
Well, before I came to the Lord, I was raised as a Catholic. I was the first of four children, so my mother took me to church regularly. She wasn't quite as active with my other siblings, but she taught me that there was a God and Jesus, and I attend catechism classes on Saturday.
At what age did you attend?
I started out at age six, first grade. You start first grade in public school and first grade in catechism.
Okay.
And I kind of always thought that was a little bit unfair, because I had to go 5 days a week to regular school, had to wake up early Saturday morning, and then Sunday had to go to church. All my friends didn't have to do that. But anyway, I learned a little bit that way. I learned some of the sacraments and so forth and some of the teachings of the Bible, but not a whole lot. And as I grew up, I continued to, they had CYO, I think, Christian Youth or Catholic Youth Organization. We'd go to those meetings once a week. And it was somebody there just trying to encourage us teenagers to be better at their lives.
And where is this geography? Where were you raised?
I was raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Well, when I got to high school, we finally stopped those Catholic classes. And I thought that was enough Catholic for me. I went to college and I spent 4 years in college and only went to the church one time on Easter Sunday. Felt pretty good about that, but that was my whole involvement in religion. So I pretty much put God on the back burner. Not something I'm proud of, but that's what I had done at the time. And a little after that, I got married, and that marriage didn't go very well. We had been living just five doors down from a Catholic church, and I thought, well, I have no excuse not to go to church when I can walk five doors down and be there. So I used to go back, and it felt pretty good going back to church. I felt, okay, this is filling in a need that seems to be absent in my life, and my marriage wasn't going well, so that was helping a little bit.
What age was that for you?
Well, I got married at age 23, and from about 23 to 25, I was attending that Catholic church more or less regularly.
Okay.
When the marriage broke up, I had to move in with another guy. I left my wife alone and moved in with another guy. At that time, I was working as a internal auditor. And so the company I worked with would send me out of town 3 weeks of every month to go audit their different companies. Or for a two-week engagement, they sent me to Lynchburg, Virginia. When you go in to do internal auditing, there's really not a lot of space for you to sit. You're kind of the outsider. And so they try to put you wherever they can. They assigned me to sit with the receptionist. She had a bigger desk. So I was doing my work at her desk. Well, this woman was amazing, Jeff. She was so loving, so kind, so friendly to everyone that came in the door. Just a true Southern hospitality. I was very impressed with the way she was doing her job. And she began to talk to me a little bit about the Bible. And I told her what I knew and not very much. But I really admired what she knew. She had a lot of wisdom, it seemed to me. Now, I was just very ignorant about the Bible. I'd never really haven't read it at all up to that point. But at the end of that week, it was a two-week engagement. We were flying back to Pittsburgh on Friday. And she had a little tract on her desk, How to Be Saved. Well, I've been an avid reader all my life, so I was just looking at this tract while we were packing up our stuff to go back to Pittsburgh. And I put it back down and she said, "Oh no, you can take that with you." "Oh, okay, great. Thank you." Well, I took it with me and I read it on the airplane. Very interesting tract. It changed my idea about what a Christian was. I thought a Christian was more or less a monk, someone who lived in seclusion. But this tract told me that you could live a normal life. You can engage in different activities, but you're focusing on the Lord. And that you, in order to become a Christian, you ask Jesus into your heart. Okay, well, I read that tract through twice. I got home and it was a Saturday afternoon and I'm cleaning up my apartment by myself. I'm thinking about my life and I'm not really happy with some of the decisions I've made. I was swearing too much and going to bars and I knew that wasn't good stuff. So after reading that tract, I said to myself, I'm going to become a Christian. Now, I was totally committed to what my decision was, but did I know what it meant? Not at all.
I hear that. Yeah.
Not at all. But
are you saying that the tract said to ask Jesus into your heart? Is that what the tract said to do?
It said something like that. I don't remember the exact wording. So I thought, okay, I'm going to make a change in my life. That night, I didn't know what to do. So I said, well, Christians are supposed to pray. So I got down on my knees and prayed for the first time in years. Well, the next morning was Sunday. And I had a burning desire to go back to church. Normally, I'd wake up on Sunday morning and think of what else I might have to do. Do I want to go to church or do something else? But this morning, I had to go. So I went to the Catholic church. And Jeff, it was an amazing. As we stood up to sing a song, I said to myself, we are singing to God. We're singing this song. I'm looking around at other people who are just kind of reading the words rote by rote.
Uh-huh.
And I'm realizing we're singing this to the God of heaven. Does anybody else realize what we're doing here? It was totally amazing to me. So I had that service. I went back to Lynchburg the following Monday. And Jeff, I must have had a grin from ear to ear because when I walked into that woman's office, she looked at me and she said, "Something happened to you over the weekend."
Did she really?
"Oh, yes, I got saved." Whoa, she was so thrilled. She was thrilled that she had some influence in that. Well, she began that second week. She brought in some cassettes of sermons that her preacher had taught. She asked me if I would go to the midweek service at her church. And I said, certainly. From what I can tell now, it was a Pentecostal group.
Okay. But
I didn't know that at that time.
Right.
She knew everything about the Bible. I knew nothing. So
sure.
I'm just feeding on whatever she can give me.
Uh-huh.
She said, well, you need to leave the Catholic church. I thought, yeah, that's okay. I never liked it anyway. And at the end of that week, Friday, she said, well, you're going back to Pittsburgh and I probably will never see you again. Here's my advice to you. Go back and find a non-denominational church and get baptized. And I said, okay, thank you. What I'll do. So I came back to Pittsburgh. I had a roommate at the time. And I said, Joe, I need to find a non-denominational church. And he said, well, I know one over in this community over here. Why don't we go there tomorrow morning? I said, okay. Well, He woke up the next morning kind of hungover. He didn't want to go to church. So I said, well, forget him. I'm going by myself. It was another Pentecostal group, as best I can understand.
Uh-huh.
But the change of that from a Catholic church was just amazing. These people cared about one another. They hung around outside the building after service, talking with each other, showing love and showing care. It was amazing. In the Catholic Church, you pretty much punch your clock and you're out of there.
Really?
In this Pentecostal group, they were actually showing care. And so I was there a couple weeks. One of the times the preacher stood up and said, who's been saved in the past month? Well, nobody raised their hand. And he said, come on, tell me who's been saved. Don't worry, I won't call you up front. Well, I said, okay, I'll raise my hand. He said, come on up front and tell us your story.
Oh, no.
Well, Jeff, I wasn't embarrassed in the least. I went up and I told them kind of what I'm telling you now. And then they really warmed up to me. They wanted to know more about me, and they were friendly and loving. And I thought, this is a pretty good group of people. They had people in there speaking different languages. Well, I thought that was really inclusive.
Okay.
I've learned since that time that they were trying to speak in tongues, but I thought they were actually from a foreign country.
Right.
So I was there 6 or 7 weeks, maybe. And then I saw a slip of paper. If you want to be a member of this church, sign your name and put it in the collection plate. So I thought, yeah, this is a pretty good place. I wouldn't mind being a member here. So I got back later on a letter from the church. It was a mimeographed letter. Dear blank, somebody had written in Dawn, we'd love to have you as a member of our congregation, but there are certain requirements that you need to meet.
Uh-huh.
You need to meet with the elders, and you need to have regular Bible study. You need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You need to, and there were 8 or 9 requirements to prove that I was worthy to join their congregation.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I found that highly offensive. I said, I'm a Christian. I don't need to meet all their guidelines. I'm not going back there. Forget that. That's the way they're going to treat me. I'm not going back.
I've never heard of that being done before. I've heard of congregations interviewing a person, you know, sitting down face to face and maybe talking about some things, but I've never heard of, and the old word mimeographed, you know, that's going way back. So, and tell me, what calendar year was this happening for you?
I was 25 years old, so that would have been 1980, fall of 1980.
Okay.
So I decided I'm not going back to there. A few days later, a friend of mine invited me to go to a basketball game. So as I was driving down to see him, I stopped at a red light. I looked to the left at me, and I saw Church of Christ, non-denominational. Oh, I said, that's what that woman told me, non-denominational. That's where I need to go. So, okay, I'm going to go there tomorrow morning. Well, that next morning I woke up and I drove in there, and first thing I walked in the door, I said, I need to be baptized. You people baptize here? They were more than happy to say, yes, we do. But can we study with you first? I said, well, that'd be fine. So they set me up with a study with a youth minister, and we studied the following Saturday. It was they had a program called the Open Bible Study. It's 3 2-hour studies where you read a verse of the Bible, and you answer a question about it, yes or no, to see if you understand it. Well, we went through the first study, and it covered a lot of the basics that I had not known about because I really hadn't been reading the Bible.
Okay.
And we finished that first study, and I said, well, let's go to the second one. Well, the second study started off with baptism. And the minister started asking me to read these passages. Dawn, are you a sinner? Yes, I am. Have you been baptized? I said, well, I was baptized as a baby, but that doesn't count. I know that doesn't count. And then we read a few more passages explaining baptism, and he asked me a point-blank question. What's your spiritual condition right now, Dawn? I said, I'm lost. From what I've read, I'm lost. I thought I was saved 8-9 weeks ago, but I can read now that I'm lost. Where's the water? I need to be baptized, and I need to baptize now. He said, well, we'd be glad to do that for you, but we want to finish this second study of 2 hours. So it covered more things about the church, the Lord's Supper, the offering, instrumental music, the lack of instrumental music. So I learned about that. And after the second study, I said, well, let's go to study number 3. He said, Dawn, we've been at this for 2 hours now, and frankly, I'm getting a little bit tired. Can we finish the third study tomorrow? Okay, that means I'm not going to get baptized today. I was scared, Jeff. I drove home so afraid that if I crashed, I'm going to go to hell. I was firmly convinced that I was unsaved, and I needed to get baptized.
Now, had anybody stressed that to you, you know, that you have to be baptized to be forgiven, or had it just kind of come out of the study?
It came out of as I was reading the passages, he said, are you a sinner? Have you sinned? Yes. Have your sins been forgiven? No.
Mm-hmm.
He asked, what's your spiritual condition? I said, I'm lost.
Yeah.
Okay. And he didn't disagree with me. So the next morning I woke up and I had to get back to that church. And in the afternoon, we went through the third study, took another 2 hours. And at 3 p.m. on November 9th, 1980, I was baptized. I went out and got some ice cream afterward to celebrate.
Yeah, that's good. It seems like you developed in the course of the study a real sense of urgency for obeying the gospel once you learned what you needed to do, and maybe more of a sense of urgency than the folks that were teaching you had.
Now, that's possible, but the brother who was teaching me realized that baptism was separating me from salvation.
Yeah.
But he wasn't pushing it. He was just letting me read the passages myself and letting me come to my own conclusion, which I appreciated greatly.
Yeah. Well, he said, true.
What he said was, how does this passage affect you, Don? How do you see this passage?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't so much a preaching session as it was just him gently guiding me through the word, letting the word operate on my heart.
Well, let's see if we can summarize what you shared. A strong and regular Catholic training, moving away from it as in the college years and, you know, maybe late high school years, and then life circumstance kind of motivating you to try to get back. Catholic Church, when you went back, didn't do anything for you. And this person, the secretary in Lynchburg, really did.
He did.
Point the way, gave a tract. And then that got the ball rolling. But then you still had some course corrections, didn't you? I mean, some things to try and...
Well, there were many things I still didn't understand.
Yeah.
She told me to find a non-denominational church and get baptized. She didn't tell me why. So I didn't see the importance of getting that done immediately. Because based on what she believed, it wasn't a requirement that I do it immediately. As far as she was concerned, I was saved when I accepted Jesus into my heart.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. It's interesting that she would, you know, at least to be speaking with you and to and be encouraging you at the right time, a time when it seemed like you needed somebody to give a little push or maybe a little direction, one or the other.
Yes,
maybe
it both. Was.
Yeah. Isn't that great? You know, Paul said, I've sown, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. And another place that we reap where we do not sow, and you know, it's others' efforts. And it's fascinating to look back in our stories and see how the smallest thing at the right time from an unsuspecting person or a person you wouldn't have suspected of being a great influence are an impetus to do the right thing.
Well, another thing, and I don't want to over or minimize this fact, that when I was going to that basketball game, the red light was there right beside the Church of Christ. Now, if that's not God's intervention, I don't know what is.
Well, so, and providentially, you know, what are the little things that happen? And you were looking at the time, and they were right there. And did you remember the name of that church?
It was called the Fifth and Beechwood Church of Christ.
Fifth and Beechwood.
Now, they're still there today.
Uh-huh.
Now, I learned that later on that they were more of a institutional congregation.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that at the time. I was still brand new. I stayed there for 7 years.
Uh-huh.
And then I found out they began getting involved in racial problems, a lot of gossip, no discipline whatsoever. And I realized this is not I can't stay at this place. And another sister encouraged me to go to another Church of Christ, which turned out to be a more conservative group. That's how I ended up where I am today.
Another kind of a correction brought about by you, you know, you've had your nose in the book and you're looking around and saying, this doesn't fit.
Doesn't match.
Coming as an adult, as you did you have any difficult reaction from your family at the time or from friends?
Actually, no. My family didn't give me much trouble. They were not very high, very religious to begin with, so that wasn't a problem.
Uh-huh.
I did have a very good friend who I'd been living with. You know, we were being roommates, and when I found the truth, I couldn't wait to share it with him because him and I were just best buddies.
Yeah.
Him and I had gone to the Catholic Church regularly, and I wanted to show him what I had found. He was not excited about it at all. He said, "What makes you better than me, Don? What's wrong with the way I've been trying? Well, I'm not a bad guy. I'm not living a bad life." And basically, it ended our friendship. There was we had nothing in common anymore. It's very sad because I loved that guy very much.
But listen,
it's what you find out that when you become a Christian, your life changes. You find new friends. You have to have new relationships.
It's true, isn't it? And you don't know where or when it's going to happen or who will be the one who you'll be separated from by the gospel. I think that's part of us. Naivete, as we come to the Lord, we don't realize. I remember as a young Christian, you know, I came to the Lord about the same age as you did, that this is going to be great. People are going to love to hear this.
Oh.
And how naive I was that, you know, not everybody does want to hear this. And you, as you start to share the message, you'll see friendships dissolving, relationships dissolving.
I thought as soon as I became a Christian, this was just weeks away from ever all my friends becoming Christians. They're all going to see exactly what I see, and they'll be so excited to hear it.
Yeah.
They weren't.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's looking back or looking around even now, that's what makes every Christian precious, is that God's given us the freedom to embrace this message or reject it. And there are, even after you embrace it, there are a number of challenges and trials and potholes and pitfalls and ways to not continue. And so everybody who's still on the path and still working for the Lord are very valuable. They're just to be cherished and treasured. So I don't know if you feel that way too.
I certainly do. I love sharing the message with the people that will listen, but as you know, it's not a whole lot that want to hear it.
Preacher friend up in Philadelphia.
Pittsburgh.
But in Philadelphia, James Baker used to be there, and he used to say, "I'm looking for people who are looking."
Yes.
And that was what he would say. Yeah. You're on the other side of the state, right?
I met with James Baker on one Sunday. I was over there.
Yeah.
He's a good man.
He's been working in Germantown. At least, I'm not sure where he is now. Last I knew, he was in Germantown and doing an excellent work there. Yeah. Well, this is just great to have you share this and to hear how it was that you came to the Lord at a fairly young age, I guess, you know, in your 20s, right?
Yes, 25. Yeah,
25.
I was ready to change my life. I wasn't happy with the way things I was doing. I knew right from wrong. I knew I was heading down the wrong path. Not seriously bad, but I wasn't doing what God wanted. It was time to make a change.
And these people who providentially or however brought into your life that helped you, and that stop at that red light helped you find that right building.
Well, you know what God says, seek and you will find. I was seeking. I was seeking, so he provided the things that I needed to find.
What a great story. I appreciate you sharing that, Brother Don. Thanks for your time, and God bless you.
I'm glad you joined us for this episode of Conversions to Christ. If you have comments or questions, we'd love to hear them. Please send them to me at teachpreach@gmail.com. Come back and join us again.